Welcome to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen. Remember the school nurse from your childhood? Her role today has increased with the rise of childhood obesity as children under 18 are developing type 2 diabetes at an alarming rate.
From administering insulin and other medications during the day to making sure blood sugar is well managed, the school nurse has her hands full. How have school systems adapted to the growing demands on school nurses? What training do they receive? And with budgets being cut, how do school nurses keep up? Joining us for a look at how childhood diabetes is managed during the school day is diabetes educator and registered nurse Margaret Pellizzari. She's the program coordinator and assistant nurse manager in pediatric endocrinology at Cones Children's Medical Center, Northwell Health on Long Island, New York.
Welcome to Take Care, Peggy. Thank you for joining us today.
Hello, and thank you for having me.
With the increase in obesity among all age groups and the rise of type 2 diabetes because of excess weight, how many children from kindergarten to high school have type 1 or type 2 diabetes?
There's approximately 1 in 400 children who have diabetes.
How many need to check their blood levels and take insulin during the day? Would it be everybody with type 1 or type 2?
Well, definitely it would be everybody with type 1 diabetes. And depending on what the regimen is for the individual with type 2 diabetes, would depend if indeed they need to be having their blood sugar checked at lunch. If the person with type 2 diabetes is on an insulin regimen, they would need to be checking their blood sugar while they're at school.
Why don't you just give us a basic explanation of the difference between type 1 and type 2 diabetes?
So type 1 diabetes is considered an autoimmune medical condition whereby the cells that produce insulin, for some reason, start attacking, so to speak, the cells that produce insulin. So somewhere along the line, there are no more cells that produce insulin. So there is a genetic component to type 1 diabetes. And then there's something environmental or some viral trigger that sets off this autoimmune process and makes it that that individual now with type 1 diabetes needs to be taking insulin. And type 2 diabetes is a very strong genetic component to that, and it's marked by insulin resistance. So those individuals initially with type 2 diabetes, they are making insulin. However, due to a lot of times the excess weight, the insulin is not being utilized properly, and they end up having high blood sugars.
What's usually the age range that the first initial diagnosis is made?
We have children under the age of 1, and we are pediatric practice. We go up to the age of 18. So the majority are the school-aged children who are diagnosed with type 1 diabetes.
So let's talk about what kind of health services and how are the schools managing. What kind of health services are schools required to provide for those students in their care that do have diabetes?
Well, I know at the New York State level, they are providing education to the school nurses and to other personnel, teachers, to make them aware of what is diabetes and what is diabetes management for those children at school. We here at our institution have always provided once a year a program for school nurses to let them know. It's called Child Diabetes in the Classroom Update, to let them know about the newest technologies so that they're aware and we can answer any of their questions that they have. So it's keeping on top of technology, because certainly technology has increased significantly over the past few years for type 1 management.
What kind of equipment do students need to have at school? And in terms of using that equipment, do they need to be using it in the nurse's office, or can they do it at their desk, at their locker?
So the individuals with diabetes who are able to self-manage, we want to make sure that they continue to self-manage while they are at school. And so those orders could be written, and it's encouraged that then they can test their blood sugars and take their insulin anywhere while they're at school. So they're going to need blood glucose monitoring. They're going to need, maybe they're on insulin pumps or insulin pens. A lot of the students now are on continuous glucose monitors, and they need to have their phone as the receiver of that glucose data. And with the technology, this information of the glucose data in real time goes up in the cloud, and their parents are then able to see on their phones or their iPads what those their child's glucose levels are in real time. And so sometimes we need to write a note that the student is needs to be able to carry their phone with them because it's holding their glucose data, and this way their parents are also able to see that.
In terms of compliance, a child who's been diagnosed with type 1 diabetes sees the real problems that occur if they're not doing the necessary monitoring and control and management that they need. But for the newly diagnosed type 2 diabetic child, I would imagine that that's probably, there's a little more resistance. I'm not able to eat the things my friends eat. And perhaps they need a little more assistance. Is that where the school nurse or additional school personnel come in?
So we have the individuals who may be reluctant, and we have the individuals newly diagnosed who may not be able to recognize their signs and symptoms of either high blood sugar or low blood sugar. We can request a school aide to ensure that, let's say, okay, if we give this individual, let's say a young child, insulin, and we want to make sure that they eat their carbohydrates because we're matching their insulin dosing to the carbohydrates that need to be consumed. And if that doesn't happen, let's say they don't eat all of their carbs, but they receive their insulin, they're at risk for having a low blood sugar. And then it's educating individuals in the school, whether it's the teachers or the aide and the school nurse, how to recognize and treat a low blood sugar. And certainly allowing testing of the blood sugar in the classroom, because we don't want anybody who's got a low blood sugar to be walking in the hallway with maybe another student, because they may run the risk of going even lower and not have the help that they need.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness, produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Linda Lowen.
And I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And today our topic is managing childhood diabetes during the school day. And our guest is Peggy Pellizzari. She's the program coordinator and assistant nurse manager in pediatric endocrinology at Cohen's Children's Medical Center, Northwell Health, on Long Island, New York. Peggy, are there special meals in the cafeteria that are made available to students with diabetes?
You know, school lunches could be very, very challenging because the parent will need to request the school menu. There is also a link where they can go online to get the school menu. But the same thing holds true that if it's like a serving of pasta and the child doesn't eat all the pasta, and the insulin is mismatched, we have the risk of either a low blood sugar or high blood sugar. I love to be able to tell the parents the easiest thing to do for these children is to make a lunch where you can, you know, weigh the fruit, know how many grams of carbs, put that in a brown bag, and then all the nurse would need to do is figure out the dosing based on the blood sugar and take into consideration the carb counts of the lunch that's provided by the family. Now, a lot of times that does not happen because we have a lot of people who aren't, you know, making lunch. People aren't cooking at home, and so it becomes very, very challenging.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a whole team effort involved to keep this child well during the school day. The nurse that's had the training and maybe extra personnel and aides in the school as well as the parent. We know that so many schools face budget cuts, and as it is, they've had to cut staff in certain districts. What are some of the challenges besides personnel and training that schools have faced, and what solutions have been proposed to keep up with this increase in diabetes care?
Well, with the rise of both incidence of type 1 and type 2 diabetes, it makes it very, very challenging for those school nurses and for the school personnel. And so it is definitely in the best interest for everybody to encourage diabetes self-management. In the event when there are no school nurses, it's very concerning because the individual, certainly with type 1 diabetes, needs to have insulin to live. And so they have to come up with some special solutions. In New York State, unlicensed school personnel are not allowed to administer insulin. So that's a little bit of a a dilemma when you have a school where there is no school nurse, such as, you know, a religious school, and there's no school nurse. Sometimes they're able to find somebody who is willing to volunteer to help out the family in those kinds of situations. But it becomes very challenging.
Peggy Pellizzari is the program coordinator and assistant nurse manager in pediatric endocrinology at Cone Children's Medical Center at Northwell Health on Long Island, New York. And also, Peggy, you've been living with type 1 diabetes for over 40 years, which you share with all the people that you work with. And you were in a great position from your own personal experience and from what you do on a daily basis to really enlighten us on some of what the challenges are that schools are facing. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.